This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 528, There Is a Cow Level. Today's sponsor is Doghouse Systems. Get great computers made by gamers for gamers at doghousesystems.com and use the code BACON for a 120GB SSD in addition to the default 1TB hard drive. Today's show is also brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATA2016. That's bit.ly/ATA2016. Over 180,000 tales to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Toasty. How you doing there, Toasty?
I'm doing pretty good. I tried to unmute it, and the mic tipped back too far. Tragedy happened.
It does happen like that sometimes.
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Medros?
I'm doing all right. We are minus a fan death. He is busy watching a hockey game live in his brand new jersey. Yeah, we'll do this without him. We don't need him for this, do we?
Nah, not a lot's happening this week, so we're okay too manning it.
Awesome. So, how is your week in WoW this week?
It was pretty laid back. What did I do? I spent a lot of time trying to recruit. That's what most of my time in-game was spent doing recently, because I need two healers. So we're busy trying to recruit that so we can... We're ready to, you know, actually raid when Nighthold comes out next week. So yeah, it's been hard. We're not getting many bites. Had a few people contact us who are interested, but it's working out schedules and all that, and a whole other thing. So it's been a little difficult, but I don't know. We'll probably just end up pugging the healers the first couple nights, just to, get into the content, and, hopefully maybe just by doing that, we find people who fit in with the group. We'll try the usual trade chat spam instead of using Group Finder, see how that works out for us. But yeah, and then I played a little bit on Saturday, just hung out in the sewers a lot. There's a lot of sewers, and so many treasure goblins, or whatever they're actually called.
Treasure goblins.
Okay. Yeah, there are so many treasure goblins.
Many, many goblin bodies littered the floor.
Yes. Then I did the Diablo event, the anniversary stuff. That was cool, too. Got the Cow King down. Didn't get that weapon that he drops. But I got the toy and all those little buff items, so that was cool. And I meant to go back and do more of it than to do more of the treasure goblin stuff so I can get my Tome of Town portal or whatever. But it ends today, and I'm doing the show tonight. So, I don't know, maybe I'll try for a little bit after the show. But I might not end up getting that, which sucks. But whatever, what can you do?
Yeah, I'm very curious whether the toy will still work after the event.
I don't see why not.
Because the toy says event Diablo 20th anniversary, but yeah, I'm really curious about that.
That would suck.
The good thing is, though, if you get it and it works after, then it basically replaces your Hearthstone without having to use a bank spot.
Bank space hasn't been an issue for me lately, thankfully. All those... The transmog changes really helped me out a lot. A lot of the toy changes did, too. So... it hasn't been a huge issue for me. I'm not carrying around a prospect set this expansion either, which is nice. Haven't really had to.
That, I'm sure, is definitely helpful.
Yeah, that was my week. How's yours?
Wasn't too bad. You know, just doing here and doing the stuff here and there, trying to enjoy the Diablo stuff. We did the stream that we did on the weekend. Was fun. Really enjoyed doing the Diablo stuff. That was a lot of fun, though it hurt my eyes and gave me a headache. Definitely not a fan of WoW and low res, or Diablo and low res. Yeah, not fun at all. So yeah, thanks Blizz. Really liked that headache, but it was fun to see what they did and how they did it. So that was really cool. I could do without the low res. That's all. But we cleared it. I think overall, like the entire time we were doing it was probably around 2 hours, but we didn't start until a little bit into the noon mark of the stream. So it was a lot of fun. It was you, me, Jen, and Vesp from the Shattered Soulstone podcast. And yeah, I had a lot of fun doing the Diablo part. Was a lot of fun, and it was really interesting to see what the. The Overwatch part was really interesting, though not have. I mean, I kind of was wondering how you'd feel because you actually like play Overwatch more than most of us, and we kind of sucked. And when I say kind of suck, I mean we really, really badly sucked.
I mean, we won one. We got control of 1 point, if I remember right.
Out of. Dozens?
Yeah. We didn't do too hot. I'll be real there. We didn't do fantastically. But I don't know, I still had a lot of fun doing it. And
it was a lot of fun, but yeah. It's like a few more wins in the column would have been nice there, that's all I'm saying.
It's okay, I played a couple rounds afterwards and I made up for it. I think I won. I think I played 4 or 5 games later that night and I won all of them.
Okay.
So, that made up for it. In my head, anyway.
Well, that's good. But, yeah, other than that, let's see. I leveled a bit of my druid. I think I'd hit 110, or no, I was 109 last week, so I hit 110 that night. Or no, it was like the next morning, actually, sorry. I was like, I had, like, one thing to do, and that was back in Dalaran, but I was like, nah, I was going to log gear. I'll do it in the morning. So, the next morning, I hit 110. Started doing world quests. Gotten really annoyed with the Curator ones. Because it feels like in the 2 days that I have Curator, or sorry, the 3 days that I have Curator I can do, the majority of stuff that is up is the crappy Like a Wind ones that I refuse to do because they are stupid. But other than that, not too much. Been working on trying to get my druid's gear up a little bit so that he's not quite as squishy. Yeah, I mean, not really too much. I killed the Cal King a couple times on one on each of my max level tunes. Since you can kill him on non-max level tunes, I will probably take all of my alts there and see if one of them can get the dagger that he drops. Hopefully one that I can actually use it, or whatever the weapon is that he drops. And then see if I can get... my druid, it has the most of the scroll of town portals. He has 6 of them, so I'll probably focus on him and trying to get the last 4 I need for the toy before the end of the event, which I assume happens and sometimes tonight. But
yep,
yeah. So it's definitely gonna be a interesting night. But
I haven't decided if I want to do it afterwards. another toy would be cool. Another Hearthstone would be cool. Because, you know, we don't have enough of those between the Garrison, the normal one, the Dalaran one. If you're sure. A shaman, you have Astral Recall.
But again, this is a toy that is usable on all of your characters.
Maybe. You did say it has that Diablo 20th anniversary event tag on it.
True. We hope it's something you can use on all your characters. But yeah, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of Sightless Eyes now on my characters. A lot more than I had before anyway. I probably double or tripled them on most of my characters, so.
Nice.
Yep. All right, for fan death, he's away at a hockey game, so he doesn't get to tell us what he did this week.
He did stuff.
Good stuff? Bad stuff?
We don't really know.
All right, well, hopefully he had fun doing it, whatever it was.
Yeah.
All right, so let us talk about our first sponsor then, I guess.
All right, so our first sponsor, as usual, is the good folks over at Doghouse Systems. They make fantastic computers, and they're made by gamers for, you know, people like us, so that's always a good thing. They know what we want, because they want it too. And if you choose to purchase one, you can use the code BACON at checkout, and you'll get a 120GB SSD in addition to the default 1TB hard drive. And we thank them for sponsoring the show.
Indeed. Alright, so what's coming up in WoW this week?
Not a whole lot coming up in WoW this week. It's basically just the world event that's happening tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, sorry. So, basically, you're gonna get... There's a quest that you can pick up that'll give you 5,000 order hall resources if you complete 20 quests, and completing all the world quests will award bonus reputation towards the Broken Isles faction. So if you're still looking at completing the reputation portion of the Pathfinder achievement, that's a good way of doing it. Another thing that's happening actually today is, as we talked about already, Diablo 20th anniversary event is ending, so that's ending at some point tonight, or the 9th, for those of you listening on the download. So if you're listening to us on the download, you kind of missed out if you didn't do it. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, there's some other, you know, non-recurring event stuff happening this week, but we'll talk about that later.
Indeed.
In fact, I think we're going to talk about it right now.
Indeed. Let's talk about it. So, tomorrow's patch day, guys. Patch 7.1.5, which sounds a lot loftier than it actually is. Sounds a lot less important than it actually is, because it's going to bring a fair bit of interesting stuff. So, this patch is bringing the Mists of Pandaria Time Walking, which is the dungeons. It's Temple of Jade Serpent, Strumstrup Brewery, Shadowpan Monastery, Mogoshin Palace, Siege of Nizao Temple, and Gate of the Setting Sun. There will be a new time-walking vendor on the Timeless Isle, which offer the Reigns of the Heavenly Jade Cloud Serpent, two new pets, an Infinite Hatchling, and a Paradox Spirit. The reputation tokens for all of the major Pandaren factions and friendship items. Two new toys, Adopted Puppy Crate and Portable Yak Wash. And who didn't like the Yak Wash quest out of Mists of Pandaria? Come on, that was a fun quest.
Going to the Yak Wash.
And there will be updated equipment selections from Pandaria factions. So if you are a transmog collector, that is a place for you to be. The patch will also bring in Brawler's Guild as a return, and there will be several new solo fights, such as Ogre Watch, Master Paku, a Seagull, I'm not sure, Ray D. Tier, Johnny Awesome, Burnstachio, Stitches, and many more.
Oh, how can you not read that third one? Ash Ketchum? Ash Ketchum?
I know. I was hoping you would point that out.
And a seagull? It's like the seagulls from Eye of Ashara. Those little buggers are hard to kill if you manage to aggro one of those by accident because you're blade storming like crazy without any regard to what's around you.
Well, why would you do that?
Tanks definitely did not get mad at me for that.
Oh, well, that's good.
That happened.
It'd be really bad if you got your tanks mad at you for that. And I mean, nobody wants that.
No. What I particularly like about these new solo bosses fights is now we're responsible for killing a raid tier.
Yeah.
So just remember, guys, every time you do that, you're destroying a raid tier for us. So it's literally everybody's fault. Way to go.
Absolutely. So make sure you get up there and kill a raid deer.
No, don't kill a raid deer.
Yeah, all the raid deers.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So rewards from the Brawler's Guild is the Brawler's Burly Basilisk Mount, a Pulegis powerful punching ring, which transports you to the Brawler's Guild area, new shirts and achievements, as well as a new battle pet, Tyler Grondon.
Yes, I love it. I also want the Brawler's Burly Basilisk. I've been wanting a Basilisk mount for years. I remember on one question of the week, way back in the day, before I was on the show, you guys were talking about mounts and what you wanted as a mount, and a Basilisk was one of those mounts, so I'm going to be hitting up the Brawler's Guild so much.
Yeah?
Yeah, I need that in my life.
Cool. So yeah, that's some pretty cool stuff. Are you excited for the return of the Brawler's Guild?
Yeah, one thing I'm not so stoked about is invites to the Brawler's Guild have been reset. So if you had access to the Brawler's Guild before via that Bloodsucked invitation, you need to get it again.
But you'd be able to get it from your emissary bag. That's good.
Yeah. Or if I want to, I could fight the elite Vrykul of Shields Rest and Stormheim. But I don't know. I guess I can do one of those two things. It doesn't sound like it's too difficult.
Indeed. Now, for those of you who forget what we've talked about before about 7.1.5, one of the big features of this patch is going to be new micro-holidays, such as the Hatching of the Hippogriffs, the Spring Balloon Festival, the Thousand Boat Bash, as well as many more. Are you excited for the new parts of this... ongoing events?
Yeah, I'm especially looking forward to like the Thousand Boat Bash, just because, you know, it's a boat party. What's not to love about that? And I'm really interested in the AQ anniversary event. As somebody who started in Wrath, I never got to experience that event, and, you know, to maybe even experience just a small part of it, I think would be pretty cool.
So, well, if they want to be very faithful to the AQ event, do expect completely that the servers will go down repeatedly. You'll miss the main part of the event, and you'll hate the event. Because that's what it's like. That was what it was like. I think the person on Argent Dawn who did it tried 8 times to wait until there were more people around so they could all witness it. The server kept crashing, and they gave up.
Yeesh.
Yes. It was, what do they call it? Oh, yeah, it was a cluster. A major, major cluster.
Well, thankfully their tech's a little more stable these days.
I don't know, you saw that. You saw that room at Blizzard. Come on. We know that that's not the case.
Well.
but seriously, though, it's really awesome to see that they're doing these micro holidays. And I do hope that these holidays are enough to keep people more interested in playing the game between major content, and bring maybe some old players back who remember those old days of more interesting events and a lot of really cool stuff happening around the world.
Yeah.
All right. So here's some stuff that I'm super excited about. And I'm not going to lie, this is kind of the stuff I'm looking forward to the most. I am looking forward to the stuff to do with the artifact knowledge and class halls. So we've talked about before how hard it is to get class or get artifact knowledge and build your artifact, and how absolutely alt unfriendly that stuff is. Well, good news, we will have catch up mechanics in this patch. So there'll be new binding account items available from artifact researcher in your class order hall. The items can be sent to alternate characters to immediately get them to higher artifact knowledge levels. For new players just reaching 110, there's a new set of repeatable quests that will allow you to immediately exchange order hall resources for artifact knowledge up to artifact knowledge level 15. And also, for those who are doing research to upgrade your class order hall, there'll be a shorter time to complete class hall research for tiers 3, 4, 5, and 6, making it easier to upgrade those on alts and new characters. I'm really excited for these because, as you guys know, I have a lot of alts, and these will be very helpful for me in trying to improve my character, the characters, and get them the very best they possibly can be. I will definitely have a lot to report on this, I'm sure, and it'll be very interesting to see what, you know, on my druid, who has not done any research, except for, he's not learned any artifact knowledge research, whether it'll be better for him to level some artifact knowledge himself through these repeatable quests, or if it might be better for me to get that on my main. So that'll be very interesting to see how those go and how they work those out, for sure.
I don't know. I think it'll be the BOA thing, because the BOA thing, I mean, it'll bring you to 5 levels below what your main character is. If you're level 25, you're getting right up to level 20 off a BOA item. At least that's my understanding of it.
Yeah. I'll agree. You know, I fully expect that is going to be the case. It'll be very interesting to see if that does end up being how things work and the best way of doing what we need to do. So, but yeah, it's very interesting to see no matter what. and I'm very excited for that part. I will, like, that's the first thing I'm doing when I log in tomorrow is figuring out what the best options are for me on those. So, all right. So for those of you who, like me, use add-ons to do world quest assistance, like the one that Frasley emailed us about a few weeks back, Blizzard, as they have a tendency to do, is basically making it so that a lot of that functioning is now going to be built in. So if you are about to go do a world quest, you can very easily now search for groups in the quest tracker. You should use the quest tracker to find groups to do the world quests, hopefully making it easier for players all around the game to more smoothly find a group for what they want to do and make doing world quests a little bit easier for those who do have issues with getting groups and trying to do that kind of stuff. Does it sound like something you'll be able to use there, Toasty?
I mean, in theory, yeah. I mean, honestly, for the most part, when it comes to the world quests, when I'm doing them, I tackle them solo. Usually, you know, especially with the group ones, I find there's usually enough people around the area who will jump on it as soon as you aggro it. So it's never been a huge issue for me finding completing some of that tougher world quest content that's meant for multiple people. The only one that I really use a group finder for is for the world bosses. So, because obviously those need a full raid group, or at least a decent sized group to complete. You know, like a legit tank, like legit healer kind of deal.
We did it with 10 people yesterday on Saturday.
Yeah, that was a legit raid group. Healer, tank.
Planning.
There's no way we were doing that without a healer and a tank.
That is true. Would have been a little difficult.
I was getting ready to switch, too, as a whole thing.
Yeah, but you didn't have to.
Thank God. I couldn't do that with you in the group, and then you'll see me tanking, and then you'll never leave me alone about it.
Yeah, but you're willing to, and that's enough.
Damn it.
So there'll also be some other additional improvements to Group Finder. There'll be a new option that allows you to make groups only visible to friends and guildmates of people in the group. When you're searching for groups, groups who need your role are sorted at the top of the list, and you'll receive more descriptive messages when you're declined when attempting to join a group that is full. So you'll just know if it's your eye level or if it's just that the group's full. And that's always good to know why you're being denied, in my opinion.
Yeah. I just assume when I get shut down for a group, it's because you're melee DPS. It's usually a safe assumption.
Well, then, that's not funny.
I'm pessimistic that way.
Really? I never knew you were pessimistic.
Really?
I mean, I'm not sarcastic, so.
Huh.
Anyways, The Legion Companion app also has been updated, which is really nice, because last patch they did take a little bit of time to get that updated before it was pushed out to players. And we all like to, you know, have updates as early as possible. Or it gets really, really frustrating when you can't use stuff. Especially when this is... I feel the Legion Companion app has become a pretty important part of most people's gameplay. So it's good to see that they have addressed that early on, for sure. There's a lot more patch notes. This is just kind of the highlights of the patch. There's some really cool profession stuff I want to mention. There is, for those of you who are engineers, there's a new quest at level 110 that rewards a recipe for a rechargeable Reeves battery. For those of you who aren't aware of what this is, Reeves is basically the Legion version of Blingtron. It has different components, though, so you can make it a mail bot, you can make it a repair bot, you can make it basically a variety of different things, and that's really cool because before you had to, you know, choose what you were going to use, and now you actually get the chance to very specifically... You get the chance to very specifically choose what you're going to use instead of like, oh, now I want to put my mailbot, now I want to put my Blingtron. So this is very good. However, the problem with the Blingtron for Legion was that it did prevent you from using it very often because you had to make a new component every time you wanted to use it. So basically you need to spend the gold and the resources to create a new battery every day if you wanted to use your Blingtron 6000 every day. And that led to a lot of people just not bothering to have one out. Now, in fairness, Blingtron 6000 for this expansion, the present it gives you, pretty much crap. I don't think I've made more than about 20 or 30 gold off of each one, which makes it extremely disappointing. But I do know that there are some people who still very much enjoy getting that, and this will make it easier for those players. So that's very good. Are there any other things in this expansion, in the patch that you noticed there, Toasty?
Two things. First off, there's some new goggles for engineering. I'm excited about that because it's got a base item level of 880, which is fantastic. Second of all, so if it was a secret got buffed, oh my god, my legendary is not quite as useless anymore.
Oh?
Yeah. Before, it only applied when you were... Before the tooltip read, successfully applying a loss of control effect to an enemy grants you 70% increased movement and 15% haste for 10 seconds. This effect may occur every 30 seconds. Now, tomorrow, it's going to read, successfully applying a loss of control effect to an enemy, interrupting an enemy, or dispelling any target grants you 70% increased movement speed and 25% haste for 10 seconds. It's like a little mini bloodlust every time I interrupt. I love it.
So what you're saying is, it's no longer useless.
Yes. I'm so happy. Oh my god. I want to interrupt all the things. Well, more so.
So you're going to interrupt more of the things, what you're saying.
Yes. Basically, if it's interruptible and my interrupt's off cooldown, I'm interrupting.
Well, that's good to know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like 10-second bloodlust every 30 seconds. That's great. And then if I stack that on top of an actual bloodlust, or heroism, whatever you want to call it, oh my god, can't wait. It's going to be so good. Love it. Maybe soon I'll get a second legendary. Maybe.
Oh my, that's saying a lot right there.
Well, they added a bunch of new legendaries in this patch as well, so there's even more of a chance. At least that's how it works in my head, and nobody tell me otherwise.
All right, done. I do hope that you get what you want.
I hope so, too. Maybe I'll get it off the Nighthold.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And it's coming out next week. It's pretty dope. I can't wait. So Nighthold, as we mentioned a few times, is coming out next week, and it's based in Suramar. What it is, it's a 10-boss raid. So, Yeah. A lot of stuff to kill there. We're going to see some familiar faces in there. One of those in the faces is Tychondrius, which is really cool. And then it'll end with us fighting off against Gul'dan, finally. I can't wait.
That'd be good. I'll enjoy that. You know, watching cinematics, at least.
So, one of the cool things about Nighthold that I'm kind of looking forward to is just, and they've mentioned this in the developer insights as well, recently, and I feel like this is pretty accurate, thinking back on the previous raids, a lot of the previous raid tiers have been pretty dark and all doom and gloom and stuff like that. Not to say that Nighthold isn't, you know, end of the world kind of scenario thing, but it's a very different aesthetic compared to the previous raids we've had. You know, it's like Emerald Nightmare, like Hellfire Citadel. There's a lot of black there. It's actually very pretty. Like, it's a very nice looking raid. It's bright and colorful. There's a lot of purple and, you know, bright colors there, which is a nice change of pace for, considering the raid tiers we've had for the past year and a half. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of stuff. That's going to be really nice to look at. So yeah, normal and heroic difficulties are going to open up on January 17th. And on January 24th, we're going to get the Mythic Nighthold difficulty. And on the first wing of Raid Finder, the Arcing Aqueducts. On February 7th, we're going to get Raid Finder Wing 2. That's the Royal Athen... That's a word that I don't know how to say. Athenom? We'll go with that. February 21st will be Raid Finder Wing 3, and that'll be the Nightspire Wing. And Tuesday, March 7th will be Wing 4 opening up, and that's Betrayer's Rise. So, for those of you running the content just in LFR, you're not going to be able to see the full breadth of the content until March 7th. But by the looks of it, it's going to be worth the wait. I've been watching a lot of those fights on YouTube recently, and there are some hectic fights. Gul'dan specifically just looks like an insane amount of mechanics you got to be worrying about and a lot of coordination, and I'm really looking forward to tackling that eventually. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And then we get tier gear, which is cool. Like actual tier sets with set bonuses. It's going to be great.
Definitely. It's always good to get some sweet new gear, right?
Oh, yeah. And being able to face off against some of these bosses and some of the bosses, you know, like I said, we're very familiar with Tychondrius, Gul'dan especially. We're very familiar with those two, but there's some that kind of just been introduced in Legion, but we have very, very good reason to not like them. Krosis, for example, if you're a paladin especially, you should really look forward to killing him.
Always.
As an Alliance paladin specifically, because, you know, he kind of killed your main dude. It's not spoilers at this point, guys. Legion's been out for a while. Yeah, if you didn't know that, we got issues. But yep. Yeah. And some of the fights just mechanically look really cool. I can't remember which boss it is. I'm pretty sure it's Krosis, actually. There's a fight on a bridge. We gotta kind of kill the boss before he you know, destroys the bridge with a new on it. So that's a really cool mechanic, and you know, and I realize it's just a timing thing, but it's acting like a, you know, an rage timer. But still, that whole it makes me feel like there's a whole sense of urgency, I think, which would be really cool. Yeah, but yeah, I can't wait to tackle this content. It's gonna, you know, it'll be a little bit, but I'm really looking forward to it. Can't wait. All this Night Elf stuff, or Elven stuff, and basically, it's an aesthetic that I've always liked. That's why my first character that I stuck with long term was a Night Elf.
Well, you know, it's interesting to see where this is going. I'm still waiting for some surprises, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So, is Red Select going to be going into raiding pretty much right away, or are you guys going to...
That depends on where what our numbers are at come January 17th. Like I said, we're still trying to recruit a couple healers, because that's the role we're missing out on right now. We know we've got plenty of DPS, we've got our two tanks, and they're fantastic tanks, unfortunately, with what happened over the holidays, you know, we're healerless. I've toyed with the idea of maybe switching to my Disc Priest after I level it up. But if I can avoid doing that, I wouldn't mind, because I really like my warrior. It'd be weird not playing, doing the majority of my playtime on my warrior. But I'll, you know, I like Disc Priest too, so if necessary, I'll go to that.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So if you're a healer looking for a home, and you're Alliance, give me a shout. And if, especially if you're on Dalaran, because, yeah. I would like to raid. I like raiding. It's something that I've grown accustomed to over the past year and a half, or whenever Hellfire Citadel came out.
Not a clue.
A while ago, anyway.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. All right, so next up... Yeah, we talked about this already a little bit, but... yeah, the Diablo event. It ends tonight, so if you haven't gotten in on that yet, sorry, it's probably too late. Unless you are, like, able to get a game right now. If you are, congratulations. You still have some, you still have some time. But if you haven't, then I'm sorry to say that it's too late. The really cool thing, like I said, we did this on the stream. Like I said, I really enjoyed playing the low-res version of Diablo. Toasty, am I wrong here to say that that was a lot easier? Like, even on normal, I still expected some level of difficulty. But that seemed really easy to me.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay. Like, for context for everybody who didn't watch the stream, we went in with seasonal hardcore characters. And, you know, I started out being all careful and all that stuff. Because I was playing a Demon Hunter. And then I just started charging into the rooms and rapid-shotting everything to death. Or rapid-firing everything to death, because I could. And not once did I feel like I was going to die.
Oh, I know. Right before Diablo, there's a couple of times I'm like, oh, crap, we're dead.
No, not even then, because I just pointed and rapid-fired. I don't think I got below 80% health the entire time.
Well, I was very... Go ahead, sorry.
Like, I had to make sure that I understood which one was my potion keybind, because I had gone so long without using it.
Yeah. I didn't really, I played a Crusader. I haven't played a Crusader since, like, right after Reaper Souls came out. And I was surprised that I was doing so well. Let's put it that way. But it was a lot of fun. It was great seeing what they did with it, how they kind of changed up things. I mean, basically, we were playing in the D3 engine without playing with D3, and it was an absolute blast. I really enjoyed doing it. I would definitely do it again. And I think there's more than a few people who are probably asking now for a permanent mode in Diablo of the 8-bit or the low-res version of it. It's not, I don't think it's 8-bit, but it's like,
oh no, 16-bit. That's far from 8. No, that's not even 16-bit.
All right,
that's way higher than that.
Far lower res than we are used to.
Yeah,
I couldn't play that, but I know there's a lot of people who miss those old days of old Diablo. Now, as we mentioned, the cow level is a thing, which is really awesome. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't very hard to get in there compared to what we once thought was very hard to get into back in the days of Diablo. Basically kill a treasure goblin before the portal comes up, and then boom, you're in. But I think one thing that I had a problem with, that I guess it wasn't too clear on the outset, was that when it came to killing the Cow King, you can only do it once per character. And that was kind of a bummer.
Yes. Now, I do see on the announcement post that they said that they say that while the Cow level can be visited multiple times, you just get one shot at the Cow King's loot. So make it count. But I don't know that that was up there originally. because there are a lot of places, especially sites that I would imagine would have noticed something like that, that would have stated so, and were not, were claiming that the Cow King was repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, you know, the Cow King not being repeatable, I think rightfully has angered a lot of people, because he does give loot that is very, like, is extremely random in what drops. And I think a lot of people were assuming this was going to be like most holidays, where you have many options and many opportunities to kill for the random loot if that is your wish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, granted that random loot wasn't super unique or anything like that. Apparently the mace transmog that he drops shares a model with some of the other things, which, you know, that's fine. 28 slot bag, I mean, again, we have 30 slot bags, it's not a huge deal if we don't get that stuff. But some people want to get that stuff just for, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nostalgia?
Well, future, it's not nostalgia because it's current. Future nostalgia? Memories? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I still have my first pumpkin bag. I still, yeah. You know, nostalgia is definitely a very valid reason for mm-hmm. wanting to get as much of this stuff as you can get. So, I do think that Blizzard may have shortchanged the players on this one. But I think they are more and more going to be going towards something like this, where you only have a single chance at something. But if they do that, they need to make the odds of getting something a lot better. So that if I go in with two or three alts, I should have had that by then.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't need an army of a dozen alts to get something, or more than a dozen alts to get something. It shouldn't be a 1 in 100 chance. You know, a 33% chance should be fine, I would think.
33.33% repeating, of course?
Of course. Because we don't want to shortchange any more than a very small infinitesimal amount of point.
Exactly.
But yeah, I do hope everybody enjoyed the Diablo event. For me, it was a lot of fun. And I hope it was for all of you as well. So, tell us about... you said you were looking at the transmogs. What kind of stuff were we seeing here for the transmogs?
Okay, so in the spirit of this Diablo event, WoWhead put together a bit of a guide for transmogging into your favorite Diablo characters. And some of this stuff looks pretty cool, and some of it's right spot on. They have one Diablo one, and it looks like it's a Draenei female. That looks really good. They also have a Leah transmog up there, a Magda one, which I didn't think would be a thing. I didn't know that those shoulders existed with the wings. I really want them now. There's also Zoltan Kuhl, Lilith, Ariel, Malphail, and, you know, some of the playable character classes, which is, you know, that's really cool. So if you're at all interested in, you know, kind of emulating the characters from Diablo in WoW, WoWhead put up a fantastic guide on what you need to do to farm that up. Personally, I'm probably go with the Barbarian one, just because, you know, Warrior.
Yeah, not hard for a warrior to look like a barbarian.
Yeah. Well, I mean, looks like it might be all leather gear, actually. That really? Doesn't look like plate gear.
That seems like a loss right there. Though, I mean, it does look like leather gear.
Oh, no, it is plate.
Okay.
Huh. Some of that did not look like plate. Oh, cool. I'm totally going to do this now. I think I have some of these pieces already, too.
Awesome. Yeah, the Crusader one definitely intrigues me. However, much like somebody else I know, I don't tank.
You could do the Tyrael one.
This is true. I'm pretty sure that's a Paladin set right there, I think.
Looks like it. Yeah, that's a Paladin helm on it. Paladin shoulders. Yeah, oh yeah, that's totally Paladin. That's very Paladin.
Alright, maybe I'll look into that. But yeah, really cool to see them figure out transmog items and outfits for different characters and classes in Diablo, both current and past. So definitely check out WoWhead's Diablo Inspired Transmog Guide for for some really cool stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, time to talk about our second sponsor. Our second sponsor is the great folks over at Audible. Of course, they make absolutely amazing audiobooks. Now, this is something for you, Toasty, because I wouldn't have listened to this book unless it was for you. When we went to Minneapolis in the summer, we listened to an audiobook there and back. And if it wasn't for loving that so much, I would never have caught this book and tried so hard to get this book in my library. It's Armada by Ernest Cline, the author of Ready Player One, which is what we listened to on the way to and from Minneapolis. So let's listen to a bit of a sample of this.
Gaze shot back outside, just in time to see another bright flash of silver as the craft streaked laterally across the landscape, then halted and hovered over an adjacent patch of terrain before zooming off again. Hover, move, hover, move. It was definitely getting closer. I could see its shape in more detail now. The saucer banked sideways for a few seconds, and I got my first clear glimpse of its top-down profile, and I saw that it wasn't really a saucer at all. From this angle, I could see that its symmetrical hull resembled the blade of a two-headed battle axe, and that a black octagonal prism lay centered between its long, serrated wings, glinting in the morning sunlight like a dark jewel. That was when I felt my brain begin to short-circuit.
All right, that was Armada, written by Ernest Cline, once again narrated by the amazing Will Wheaton. It's a very different book from Ready Player One, but it had a lot of the stuff that I loved so much about Ready Player One, which is, like, a lot of references to, like, what is current pop culture or recent pop culture, whereas, you know, other books don't really have that. And, you know, there's that one line that kind of made me smile, that the lead character's mother once played had a pretty good World of Warcraft addiction. You know, I love that kind of stuff. I love when that stuff is included in books I read, because it makes it feel more real to me. So I definitely recommend checking it out. That is, again, the book Armada by Ernest Cline. You can get that and over 180,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATA2016. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
Can I give stuff away?
Well, you know, if you have to, feel free to.
All right, let's start this segment by playing the clip from last week.
How utterly predictable. Maiev is nothing if not persistent.
All right. And our winner and the only person who sent in a correct answer, or an answer at all because we kind of forgot to tweet it, was Frasley. The answer was Cordana Felsong. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Frasley. Now, your prize will be that you get to be yet another voiced character on a show. Now, we need you to voice all characters on the same show, so that may be a bit harder than the voice, but I'm sure you can do it, Frasley. I'm sure you could play 10 gnomes in the same episode. It's just a bit of a change in the voice, that's all.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's totally fine. Not a problem at all. Alright, how about next week's?
Yeah, let's play that.
Everything.
Alright, so as usual, answers must be sent in via Twitter using the hashtag ATATrivia. All correct answers will be entered into a random draw for next week's prize. So, for the question of the week, well, I'll be honest here, we forgot to tweet that too. So we're going to carry it on to next week in hopes that somebody, you know, answers the question, now that we give them an opportunity to do so. So the question for last week was, what are your WoW goals for 2017? I believe we all went through our goals last week. Mine was to, you know, get my raid team back together so we can tackle some of the new content, because, you know, that's what I've come to do in World of Warcraft these days. I would like to continue doing that.
Eh, raiding, who needs it?
Many people. Many people enjoy that content.
I think you're overestimating here.
I would say at least 10%.
All right, I'll agree with that. At least 10%.
You know, you realize that means it could be at the very least 10%, but at most it could be like 99%.
Yes, I am aware of this.
Okay, I'm just making sure that we're clear on how that's laid out.
Yep, we're good.
Okay.
It is extremely likely that it is a very small amount.
Like, define small.
Infinitesimal.
I doubt it's infinitesimal.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Like, if I were to venture a guess, and this would include LFR, 60%.
I guess. But yes, I do hope you succeed in your 2017 goals. So we have an email, correct?
Yes, we do. I'm not going to read all of it because you know there's some personal information there. I'm not sure this person would want me to read that out. But the email starts off saying, "I just started listening to the show again, and I'm glad to be back. Took a break from WoW during the last expansion because, well, one, Legion is amazing, and so much fun to be back in. I heard Toasty talking about the raid group breaking up, and I know the feeling. It's difficult to keep everyone happy and the group moving along when players want different things. On the bright side, there are other really cool players out there always looking for a new home." And, you know, there's a lot of personal stuff there. Hope you're having a great 2017 otherwise, and happy hunting, Chicago DNB. And just, you know, to sum up the personal stuff, he's letting me know some information to, you know, kind of apply to the raid group. And I'm okay with that. The last group of recruits we had was, you know, largely listeners. So I'm more than okay with bringing listeners in. So if you like I've been saying many times throughout the show, and I'm sure I'll continue to say this until I, you know, fill out my raid group, I'm more than willing to bring you in, you know, just, you know, see if you fit in with the group. I mean, that's the most important thing for us. That's everybody kind of fits in and, you know, gets along with each other. I mean, that's, I would say, more important to us than, you know, how well you perform and all that other stuff. I mean, that's important too. Don't get me wrong. I want you to perform well. But, you know, meshing well with the personality of the group is absolutely the most important thing.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, if you don't mesh well with the group, it's not going to go well for anybody.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, the people that left, I wouldn't say they didn't mesh well with the group personality-wise, because, I mean, some of those people are very good friends of mine. It's just, you know, they wanted different things. So, meshing well with everybody and having that same mindset as the rest of the group, that's what's going to lead to success.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Res-select Dalaran Alliance U.S. servers. Yeah. You're a healer. I want you.
And I just got my Tome of Challenge portal.
Whatever happened to the... We're not supposed to be playing WoW during the show.
Killing Treasure Goblins... is staying in one place and killing Treasure Goblins is not playing WoW. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I'm literally spamming a button. That's all I'm doing.
Is WoW open?
Are you interacting with WoW? No, it's not. I'm not interacting with WoW.
Were you interacting with WoW?
Who needs a nitpick here? Come on.
I mean, I can see you in the Dalaran sewers right now.
I think you're imagining things.
Taking screenshots. All right. Pretend I'm imagining things.
Yep, that's what I'll do. Anyways. Yeah, so I hope that if these potential raiders work out, that it goes well for you.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so that is about it. We had no voicemails, no other emails. So, yeah. Any shoutouts for you, Toasty?
Shout out to the people who checked out the stream on Saturday. It was really great having you out.
Absolutely. Always great to have people in the chat room. My shoutout goes to Jen and Vesperilio, who joined us for the stream on the weekend. It was really awesome to hang out with them, and, Jen doesn't have Overwatch, so she couldn't join us in there, but it was fun to have her in the have the two of them playing some Diablo with us. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
All right, do you want to do our outro for us?
Sure. If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-8-T-A-L-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com, and if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, I'm at ToastyPostyCan, and you can find the network at Dawnforge. And please check out other shows from the Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shredded Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
Indeed, and we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of patch 7.1.5.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2017. Find us online at thedawnforge.com.